Hi, it's an honor to be here. I'm Haven Bork, founded Haven B Media to work on communications and food systems and around social justice and to protect the environment. And I want to recognize my colleague, Lena Brook, who's in the audience as well, who is at least, if not more, of half than what I do. That was absolutely fascinating, and I think that Lori made some really extraordinary points on how much we need to learn about framing. And Lena and I work down in the trenches. Companies, nonprofits, entrepreneurs, and foundations come to us when they've already figured out what they want to do, and they need to figure out how to say it. And very often, even after they've done some deep work around that, we get into the stumbling area in which the media may misinterpret, and their target audience as well may struggle a little bit with what they said. So I'm going to talk briefly today about how to talk so people will listen and see how we can work together on food system change. How many of you wish you'd come up with the term pink slime? I know I did, yeah. This is a phenomenal example of how a concept can be really sticky, and how, in more ways than one, and how stickiness can go absolutely viral. And I know public health folks might think of the word viral in somewhat of a different context, but definitely with the advent of social media, we realize that you can get millions of media hits, millions of consumers, activists, health advocates, parents of children who may be eating pink slime in their hamburger, riled up. And that type of framing and messaging can really change the way an entire industry operates, and it can change what goes on the plate. So this is one of the best examples I could ever think of in terms of giving yourself the exercise to see if your messaging can be that sticky. It's a hard thing to achieve, and often it is most often achieved by accident, unfortunately. But we can see how the media immediately responds to this, and whether the headline is what we wish it would be or what we wish it wouldn't be, it is certainly catchy. Structure is important, and over the past 20 years, I've worked with so many executive directors and CEOs and people in high positions in the organizations that can really talk the talk and have the 30,000 foot view. But very often when a mic is stuck in your face, so many of us can freeze. And it's really, really important that everyone in your organization, and whether you are at the top of the hierarchy or you're in the trenches doing communications work as we are, that there is consistency, clarity, and the organization as a whole is able to sing in one voice. And this amazes me how very often I will ask in the first blush of our engagement, so tell us, what is your positioning? And I'll hear a story about what we're trying to achieve, but I won't necessarily hear clarity in terms of the target audience. And most often, where folks get stuck is in the differentiator. And true, this comes to Silicon Valley, from Silicon Valley, where I worked 20 years ago. But a differentiator, we describe that in terms of being able to set yourself apart from others. In the business world, you think of it as a competition. And frankly, in the NGO and advocacy world, we don't want to use such harsh terms, but we do want to put this in context of what you're doing is completely different than all of the other organizations are in your space. Of course, you have alliances and partnerships, but the human brain needs to grasp onto that one fact of what really makes you different. An elevator pitch, it's a common enough phrase, we've all heard it, but if you only had 30 seconds to describe what you do and why anyone should care, which is the emotional argument, this is a very, very important communications tool to have in your back pocket. It's as important as your laptop and as your pen. Everyone in your organization should be able to do this. Framing and key messages. And I think I really wish I had 4 or 5 hours with Lori, because I learned a lot from what she said, and all of it is true. But down in the trenches, it comes from, you know, comes down to framing is the way you spread your worldview out and you communicate your story. Key messages are an important structure, If you have them down and the volunteers come to do the brochure or the pro bono design agency, or if you have a room full of folks that you need to convince in a very short amount of time to stay with you and grasp your point, there's been neurological research that's been done that says really the human brain can only grasp a couple of points at once. So whittling down your key messages to make sure you make those three main points is extremely important. If you do that, you won't leave people behind. And then folks say, but I could tell my story for 9 hours. How in the world do I synthesize that and boil it down? The way you do that is use illustrations or tell stories in between your main messages to illustrate, because the human brain is also wired to connect with and listen to personal stories. Wednesday night, I was in the shower at the Y, and I was just soaping up when an announcement came over the loudspeakers, and it said, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be closing the Y at 6 p.m. on Thursday. It is the one-year anniversary of Occupy Oakland. I'm from Oakland. And we want to keep all our members safe, and we don't want you in the Y that evening. And I thought at that moment, gosh, this week I'm going to launch the People's Community Market, which is an outgrowth of the People's Grocery, which Nikki will speak about shortly. And I thought, I wonder if Brahm Ahmadi, my client, could do a quick op-ed for the Chronicle about how the People's Community Market is actually the answer to what the Occupy movement failed to achieve. So I just told you a couple of things there. I told you how a media person's brain will work. We are incredibly opportunistic. The news is happening. How can I put, my client in the middle of that? But also, I told you a story. I was standing there in the Y. I was washing my hair. You'll remember this. You'll be able to tell this. I've gotten your attention. I'm giving you a narrative, and I'm tying it in to the message I want to get across, which is this is what we do, Lane and I, on a daily basis. We try to get people involved and frame things that way.
And it was a great op-ed.
It went, thank you. If you think it was good, then we were very proud. Yeah, I think Nikki liked it too, which is important. Yeah. A couple of interesting observations on campaigns, messaging, and framing that we thought really worked well. Antibiotics in meat is a really, really tough issue. I don't know, probably many of you have been working in this for years and years. 10 years ago, I was with Bon Appetit Management Company, still a client. I do outreach for the sustainable food service provider. And we were putting up copy on our website about how we were essentially going to begin purchasing meat without drugs. And the best we could do at the time was, we will make a commitment to purchase meat that is produced without the use of non-therapeutic antibiotics used for human treatment. Or was that subtherapeutic? Clunk. Right? Important information. Very, very detailed. Great if you're talking to the scientific community. Will that really fly if you're talking to a college student or the parent of a college student who's worried about what burgers are going to be consumed? Meat without drugs, hats off. This is a beautiful framing. It's easy messaging. Meat without drugs is something everyone can understand. And this was designed to move the consumer base. Also, clear messaging around what we're trying to do. We want your signature. Great, I want meat without drugs. Of course I'll sign this. This takes me 3 seconds to make that decision. If I were the target person, probably of someone like the people in this picture. Also notice the friendly, sweet-looking pig. There's not an image, of a strangled pig in a gestation crate, or a bloody hen in a battery cage. It's a nice, gentle hand-in. It's simple, clear, and it's action-oriented. And this campaign led to an onslaught of wonderful media coverage. Fern, the Food and Environmental Resource Reporting Network, did a great job of pushing out the story of, hey, your chicken salad is actually causing your incurable UTI, urinary tract infection, which definitely got the attention of a lot of women who suffer needlessly from their chicken salad. So definitely catchy, definitely nice and focused. Cursed by knowledge. How many of you have given a talk and just kind of spun off terms like BPA and CAFO and pollinators? And I stuck in, yes, we all have. So. I often follow what I call the 13-year-old niece rule, which I don't mean that we want to dumb our messages down, but what I'm saying by that is don't leave your 13-year-old niece or your grandfather behind when you're putting together your communication strategy. Make sure that your messaging is broad enough to include everyone and speak in terms that people can really understand. If you know you're only talking to an inside Trek audience, then you can fly with that. But be careful. Don't leave people behind with terms that folks don't understand. Sound bites are a funny issue. Few of us naturally speak in these 12-second sound bites that are so often captured, definitely in TV news format and often in definitely in some of the free newspapers and in generally across the media. These are wonderful examples of sound bites that I've worked with different folks on, and I encourage each of you to play around. What sound bite could you come up with that would make sure that you got the quote? What if you're being interviewed along with another couple of other organizations? How can you make sure that you actually succinctly, brilliantly, and I would admit somewhat dramatically capture the attention of the reporter and get a beautiful quote? A lot of spokespeople are so erudite and academic that they become boring, and the reporters suffer looking for something interesting or catchy for folks to say. Anybody recognize him? He came to me in 2008 and said, I can do 60 minutes, I can do the long ones, but I just can't do a sound bite. That's Michael Pollan. He learned, eat food, mostly plants, not too much. It is possible to learn, no matter what your perspective and no matter where you're coming from. This is an interesting example of an organization that did a reasonably good job with positioning, but got caught up for many reasons and leaving out a really, really important question that was in everyone's mind. If you're going to talk about healthy kids, how can you talk only about exercise and leave out food, right? So you're really open there. This is not a bulletproof approach. And many of you know there are many reasons why this has been analyzed, but the Let's Move campaign didn't focus sufficiently on healthy food and nutrition. But this opening led to, actually, the Food Environment Reporting Network deployed their investigative reporters and did a recent story which made a lot of headlines about what was really missing in Let's Move. Cursed by knowledge, this is GMOs are a really important issue facing us in the food system. We've talked a little bit about meat, we've talked about obesity. GMOs have been one that we've all struggled to describe and tackle, and this is one of my favorite examples of shooting yourself in the foot. Who, first of all, this is a festival of colors, right? Deep dive, what's the main message here? The Human Genome Project, this, I don't know. I mean, even, I've got to get dinner on the table. This one really left me behind. It's good information, but is there a way that we could synthesize if the goal is to engage consumers and move people to action? How about a simple phrase like, just label it? We have a right to know. The framing here is wonderful, and it taps into, as Laurie is saying, the broadest possible sector of, you said it more elegantly than I ever could have, but yeah. Where are people really living, and how can they understand this? And kids saying, I don't want to be a lab rat at Halloween. And some, there are some really clear and action-oriented statements here. And this is a campaign that moved 1 million Americans to sign a petition that's moving us towards getting GMO foods labeled. Reporters are really busy. Very often they have to synthesize a large amount of information in a very short amount of time. In your media strategy, when you develop your messaging platform and talking points, are you ready to be fast and succinct? Are you ready to pivot and turn on a dime and respond to reframe rather than rebut the counterposition of organizations who work against you? Speed is really important when you work with the media. Most reporters really want to get it right, but you want to make sure you're bulletproof when you go into any media interview. You're always on the record. I'm out of time. Yes, this thing is on. And in the age of citizen journalism, I would put up the Komen Foundation and their reversal of they decided that they would back off a little bit from defunding Planned Parenthood. You saw how Twitter and social media produced an absolute firestorm and rebranded Komen, essentially. They used to be the nice little pink ribbon, right? Now they're the people that actually work to hurt women, right? What about my mammogram? What about my pap smear? for all of us. So I encourage you, there's a link here, Mashable.com is one of my favorite sites for doing analysis on social media campaigns, and they have a brilliant articulation, a step-by-step unfolding of how Komen really shot themselves in the foot, strangled themselves with their pink ribbon. I could go on, but it's a, framing is important, clarity of messaging is important, and always prepare for a firefight, because we are activists and we're working for change, and we will have to engage the media, and it's going to be an intense and possibly positive battle. Thank you.